Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Southwest Airlines is offering some great fares within the state of California for fall and winter travel, and a Route 66 landmark is lost in a Southern California wildfire.
At 3:20, consumer advocate Chris Elliott is here to share with us how customer service executives hide by disguising their own online addresses and cell phone numbers, and more importantly, how he and his team find them and share them with the rest of us.
At 3:35, I dig into the Travel Guys mailbag and answer your questions on all sorts of travel topics. And we take a look at how men and women travel differently. Spending, packing, should be very interesting conversation. You travel with your wife.
Yes, differently, I might add. I'm working on a possible vacation to Mexico for my family, so we asked Gwen Duncan to join us today at 3:50 to talk us through Tom's trip to Mexico.
By 4 o'clock, we can pretty much guarantee you, you'll be a smarter traveler. Why? You're listening to The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone. It's a beautiful Sunday afternoon and time for another edition of the Travel Guys here on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano are your hosts. Let's see. And if you visit TravelGuysRadio.com, you can follow along with our program. Also today on the show, Gwen Duncan coming in towards the back half of the show. We're going to talk Mexico vacation.
Mexico, yes, sir. How are you, Mr. Romano?
I'm doing well. I, you know, no complaints. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. I'm hanging around town a little bit here at Sports Leisure Vacations. We're working on our tour catalog, and we started taking reservations for our annual big hoopla that is known as Tour
Preview Day.
That's correct.
Yeah. What's the dates this year?
It's on the 17th of September at the Red Lion Hotel here just down the road. There's a morning and an afternoon session. If you want to come, you probably should call the Sports Leisure Vacations office next week, because about 450 of the 600 spaces have been spoken for in the first week they were available. So if you are a mature adult and you like to travel, you like to go to wonderful places and really kind of discover and learn and stuff while you're traveling, why then this is an event that you should be a part of. It's $10 to get in, and all the money is donated to local charities. You can call Sports Leisure Vacations at 361-TOUR to get a spot. How's that for an impromptu commercial?
That's great, you know, and I was just thinking of the last couple of years. I had an opportunity to make a brief appearance at the program, and and at the same time, that is the Capital Air Show always occurs around the same weekend, and I'm checking the calendar right now to see if you did it again.
Well, you will be at Tour Preview Day, even if you're not there in person. That story will unfold over in the coming weeks.
Okay, and let's see.
I would hire a lawyer if I were you.
Okay, and I think the air show is September 24th.
That's okay. We've got 60 minutes. We'll just sit here and wait for you to look it up.
All right, there you go. It is the same weekend, I do believe. So at any rate, I know we've got a lot of stuff to get covered, and so let's jump into it. It's time for what we call the travel news. Mark puts it together every week and brings us up to date on the latest, and there's always plenty. Mark?
There's always plenty. Southwest Airlines, we mentioned in the headlines, is having a pretty good sale. I don't often mention airfare sales on the air, but this is a particularly good one if you're traveling within the state of California. $59 airfares, not good on Friday and Sunday, so it is good 5 days a week instead of the normal just a couple of two, and plus $59 is a really good fare. It goes all the way into March. Major holiday periods are blacked out, but if you are thinking, if you've got a business trip, or man, if you were a family of four or something, you can save some serious cash here.
Midweek Disney trip?
It ends tomorrow.
Oh,
so
boy.
If you're going to do this, and it's only within the state of California, so it's not going to work for Phoenix or Seattle or Portland or Boise or any of those places like that, but within California, $59 each direction on most flights.
Southwest doing a lot of that. Think they're doing a little make good here somewhere along the way?
Well, it could be also, you got to know, Tom, that September and October, with the exception of the Pacific Northwest, is the slowest travel time of the, is one of the slowest travel times of the year. Probably the other time would be right after New Year's. But the fall season is some beautiful fall colors when you get up into the northern tier and stuff like that, but those don't start to happen until October. And so you get this kind of lull. Hawaii, great time to go to Hawaii. You want to get an upgraded, you know, a first-class award to go to Hawaii. This is a availability and stuff like that. This is a great time. Speaking of discounts, besides the Southwest sale, IHG, that's the Holiday Inn and Intercontinental Hotel Group, is offering 50% off their award chart to Latin America and Mexico for September and October. So if you're planning a trip to Mexico or Latin America this fall and you are a member of the Holiday Inn frequent guest program, why, they have some excellent award redemption rates for you for September and October. U.S. News has given us their thoughts on the frequent flyer programs and how they rank and who is the best. They had a very interesting formula here, Thomas. They used a scoring system, and it's a weighted scoring system. They said this adds up to 100%. Ease of earning a round-trip flight, a free round-trip flight, the ease of earning it, 45% weighting. Additional benefits they described as 25%. Network coverage, award flight availability, 10%. Number of daily flights, 5%. Airline quality rating, 5%. Based on those factors, the 10 airline programs included in the study, the domestic ones, came in like this. Alaska Airlines came out number one, and they were number one. They had a score of about 4.5, and they're number one by quite a bit. Then you drop off to JetBlue and Southwest and Delta that are all grouped together, and then there's another drop to Virgin America at 5, United at 6, American at 7, Hawaiian is 8. Then you drop a whole lot to Frontier, and then you drop all the way down to one to get Spirit Airlines.
I'm surprised they were even on the list.
So that pretty much holds true. Alaska has last-minute updates. If you ever go to the airport and you're wanting a better seat, you're on Alaska Airlines. They sell their first-class, leftover first-class upgrades and other seat upgrades at the airport for reduced amounts of money. Of course, it's only if they're available, but that's a pretty good deal. Alaska is at number one, JetBlue 2, Southwest 3. I won't give them too much argument with that. Very bad fire in Southern California, wildfire this last week. Did you hear about that? The Blue Cut fire?
I did, yeah.
Roared across closed I-15 for quite a period of time. It also destroyed a landmark up at the top of that summit. It was called the Summit Inn. Had been there since 1929 on Route 66. It was a place that John Wayne and all kinds of other celebrities had stopped. If you were on your way to Vegas from Hollywood, this is where you stopped to eat for many, many, many years. And in fact, last year on Christmas Day, I had a group of sports leisure travelers and we were there. We were on our way to Victorville and doing some other things on Christmas Day. And the Summit Inn is no more, I regret to say. So farewell to the Summit Inn. Perhaps the owners will build something bigger and better. All right. Before we go, 10 things to see in San Francisco that are outdoors. And I have one of these I have never heard of, so maybe you or Gwen have heard of this mystery place. 10 great places. This was just an article, and I agreed with most of them. Golden Gate Park, right?
Got it.
And all the museums, which are indoors, but just the park itself is wonderful. Coit Tower.
Right.
Fisherman's Wharf. Lombard Street, perhaps unique to any city in the country.
Oh, yes.
Postcard Row, you know, the row of all the old Victorians that people always like to take the pictures of. Angel Island.
Yep.
Perfect call. AT&T Park.
Yo, yes.
Personal favorite. Palace of Fine Arts. Land's End, down by the bridge, underneath the Golden Gate Bridge. And a place called Balmy Alley. Do you know this place?
Balmy Alley.
B-A-L-M-Y.
Gwen and I are both saying no.
No, if anybody out there who's listening knows where Balmy Alley in San Francisco, I'm sure it was part of this article and can find it when I go back. You can call us at 921-1530 and tell me what that is.
What if it's part of the hate?
I think we have somebody on telephone here with us here. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, Mr. Mark. How you doing?
Hey, it's Mr. Clayton Whitehead. You were at a rehearsal yesterday for a theater performance here in town.
Indeed. Yesterday, I had the most amazing opportunity. I headed down to Wells Fargo Pavilion to watch the rehearsal for the last show of the music circus season, The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Though the folks at Disney developed this stage adaptation, it is not the cartoon version. It's a bit darker, much closer to the original novel. Now, among the cast is music circus and Broadway veteran actor Eric Kunze, a super favorite of mine. But the actor everyone is going to have their eyes on in this production is John Magenti, who, like Quasimodo, the character he plays, is deaf.
Wow.
He's able to speak, but will get his singing voice through his best friend, who's one of the gargoyles. And sign language is also worked into the choreography. I think this is going to prove to be one of the most ambitious productions ever mounted by Music Circus, and certainly one of the most enjoyable. Best of all, I walked away with two pairs of tickets for you and Tom to give away. Now, these are for opening night, which is this Tuesday, June 23rd, 7:30 p.m. curtain. The production continues through Sunday the 28th, and great seats are still available.
Mr. Clayton, thank you so much. So we have two pairs of tickets. If you can go to the Music Circus on Tuesday night at 7:30, call us right now, 921-1530, 800-834-1530. We have two pairs of tickets. You have to be able to go Tuesday night at 7:30. We'll be back with Chris Elliott next on The Travel Guys.
I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again.
You've stumbled across The Travel Guys here on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman to my extreme left. I'm Tom Romano, and on the line with us.
Extreme left, huh?
Yeah, I thought I would do that today. and somewhere in between, right in the middle there, is Christopher Elliott, author, journalist, and consumer advocate, and semi-regular on The Travel Guys. Welcome, Chris.
Thanks.
Chris, you had a wonderful post on your website this last week at Elliott.org. For those of you who have never been there, it is arguably one of the best travel advocate or just advocacy websites for consumers in general. So travel, whatever you got, go there. They will help you. You did a great post, Chris, titled How Executives Hide From You and Why You Shouldn't Let Them. And I found it to just be incredibly fascinating reading. We'll post it on our website at travelguysradio.com. But I thought that it would be good to get it from you, why these guys hide and why they feel that they are entitled to hide in some cases.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned this because we actually deal with much more than just travel cases. You know, we do all cases, but we specialize in travel cases. And we specialize also in CEOs who don't want their numbers to be found. Love that stuff. I have a whole research team, and we're all volunteers, including me, and we do nothing but try to find the phone numbers, email addresses, and names of executives. And the reason that we do that is that when you have a problem that is unsolvable, and you've spent hours and hours on the phone with maybe an online travel agency or an airline, and they tell you at the end of the conversation that there's no one higher up the food chain that they can transfer you to, we can help with that. And we often, many times have done that. So what we do is I have this team of people who find these names and then publish them online so everyone else can see them. And it drives the companies crazy.
But once you find these guys and you find their numbers, they still tend to hide, perhaps by not putting exactly the number up there that you're looking for. Explain that.
They don't love direct dial numbers. They love the main exchange because they can actually hide behind an administrative assistant or PA. And so if you see, for example, a phone number that ends in three zeros, that'll be the main line. And they don't want you to have their direct phone number. And what's even worse, didn't even put this in the story, is their cell phone numbers. And we have ways of digging up their cell phone numbers. We don't hack anything. We do this completely legally. But these things can be found. So we have some really good people who are able to track those numbers down. And once you have the cell phone number for an executive or a VP of customer service, the rest is pretty easy.
Chris, you know, some people would feel that maybe as instead of going, you have a complaint with a company about a product or a service, instead of immediately going right to the top of the heap and to the CEO, that you should work your way through. You take the proper chain and we'll get better results. What is your feelings in regards to that?
I agree with you. And I've always said this, and this is very clear also on the website, is that you want to start, actually, you don't want to even be on the phone. With some exceptions. I mean, if your flight leaves in 5 minutes, yeah, it's okay to give the airline a phone call and see if something can be fixed. But most cases, you're going to want to start a paper trail, and it's not a real paper trail. You're going to send an email, of course, but you want to get your complaint and get their response in writing, because what you can do then is you can forward that paper trail to someone higher up the food chain. So you don't want to start by going to the CEO. You want to start by going to the web form, getting the response back. If it's not the right response, then you forward it to maybe the vice president of customer service. And if you don't get a response that you like, you add that to your paper trail, and then you forward it maybe to the chief operating officer or someone higher up, maybe an executive vice president. And then only then, after all else has failed, you can forward it to the CEO. And then if that doesn't work, you can always call. But the call is something that a lot of people want to get on the phone. They want instant gratification. I think that the most successful resolutions I've seen are the ones that involve patience and persistence and politeness. Those are the three P's: patience, persistence, politeness. And that's how you get your problem fixed.
And Chris, you tend to tell people not to firebomb these people all at once, but to go after them one at a time, right? And give them a reasonable amount of time to respond.
Yep, 2 weeks on the web form. That's standard. It can actually be less if you're part of a loyalty program. They usually fast track those, so you can maybe get it done in 1 or 2 days. After that, it's a week, a week, and a week. So 2 weeks for the web form, then a week for maybe a lower level vice president, then another week for an executive VP, and then another week and send it to the CEO. So that's a lot of time, but if it gets all the way to the CEO level, then we'll get involved in helping advocate your case, or you can get a lawyer involved.
You say some high-level managers don't use email at all, and they don't use standard email addresses. You use an example here of one company that where the executives use the first three letters of their first name and the last four letters of their last name in order to create an email. You must really have a good detective team there.
Yeah, that's Expedia. Expedia is really weird. We could spend half an hour talking about some of the quirkier things that Expedia does, but that's one thing they do, is that they don't have a standard email naming convention. You can usually guess someone's email. It gets a little bit more complicated when you have middle initial. So American Express is a good example of that. First name, middle initial, last name at Amex.com. And so you have to know the person's middle initial. We've had people run through, try to guess the email address by swapping out, an A middle initial, B middle initial, until finally they hit on something. And this is really thankless work. But Expedia is probably the worst, because they'll use the first three letters of their first name and the last three of their last name. I think I'm getting that right. And so you don't know if they're going to use standard naming convention, non-standard. You don't really know what the email address is, and you can't even guess it. And here's the really interesting thing. We've had insiders at Expedia who have access to their internal systems, and they tell me that their CEO and all of their C-level executives are actually, their emails are blocked internally. So if you're on the inside, you can't even email the CEO.
By the way, if you just tuned in, you're listening to The Travel Guys here on KFBK. Our guest is Christopher Elliott. Author, journalist, and consumer advocate can be read on a weekly basis right in your neighborhood Sacramento newspaper. Chris, we can spend a lot of time talking about those that are like Expedia, or those that can give you a lot of grief, and you spend a lot of time trying to hunt them down and complain. How about maybe a win-win story? Is there a particular company that you would put at the top of the heap, or maybe a couple in regards to customer service and great response when you have an issue and you contact somebody?
Absolutely. Southwest Airlines is a great example of that. They answer the phone on the first or second ring when you call them. I don't know any other airline that does that. It's pretty amazing. They are dedicated to sending you a very quick response, no matter what your elite level is. So you have a lot of airlines that will prioritize if you're if you're a platinum or a diamond member, then you're going to get a faster response. Southwest, they answer them all really quickly. And their responses are really good, too. It's very unusual for me to find a Southwest customer who is not happy with a resolution that's been offered through the web form. So that's one example. Another one is Marriott, and specifically Ritz-Carlton. Now, I know Ritz-Carlton, you're paying $600-$700 a night for their hotel room. But if you ever have a problem, they're going to fix it before you even have a chance to send an email to Ritz-Carlton. So I really love that. And I think that oftentimes that kind of customer service is free. It's not something where I'm saying I'm sorry, how much does that cost? Responding quickly, how much does something like that cost? That's something that a lot of companies can put into place right now if they really want to. But it says a lot about a company's dedication to customer service when they do it quickly and they do it without asking.
If you are not a smarter traveler after listening to this radio program for the last 10 minutes, I'm afraid we can't help you. thank you, Chris, for some terrific information. We're talking about how executives hide from you and why you shouldn't let them. And the folks at Elliott.org spend a lot of time and effort finding contact information for you so that you can solve your own problems first, and then so that they can help you solve those problems second. Elliott.org is the address, E-L-L-I-O-T-T. You can also find a link at travelguysradio.com. As Tom mentioned, Chris's column appears in the Sacramento Bee Travel section every Sunday, and we are tremendously appreciative, Chris, of you taking time occasionally to come on and talk with us, because it really does help make our audience a little bit smarter, and that's what we're here for. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chris isn't what you'd call in love with Expedia, is he?
No. I didn't sense a ringing endorsement there on any level of the Expedia folks at all. Anyways, after the news, we're going into the mailbag, and we're going to talk about how men and women travel differently. The news is up next right here on KFBK.
Thank you, Neil. Neil Diamond on the Travel Guys Radio Show. Thanks for stopping in, Mr. Diamond. Tom and Mark here. The Travel Guys brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations.
I'm over here on the extreme far left.
Am I on the extreme far left? Yeah. Mark Hoffman in the middle. Gwen Duncan, she'll be coming up shortly. We're going to talk Mexico vacations. You know that you tell your travel agent, I want to go to Hawaii, which means virtually nothing because it's kind of like where. So when I asked Gwen, I said, gee, I'm thinking of going to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, you know what? This is going to take a little education on your part, my son. Show you
she
what
Mexico is like, everything in the whole world.
Oh, my gosh, yes. But it's valuable stuff. We're going to talk about it. I'm holding in my formerly nicotine-stained hands.
Yes, sir.
How men and women travel differently. Uh-huh. And I think every guy and every gal that have traveled together, could sit down and put together a pretty thick book mm-hmm. on how they see things or differently. But what you have here, Mark, that we're going to visit with...
I have
with
these mailbag questions, and then we're going to go right into that little discussion that you have about men and women traveling differently. And as we've already talked about off the air, they pretty much have nailed it right on there. So.
I think so.
All right. So let's see here. If you ever have a question, you're getting ready to travel someplace, and you have a question about travel or the place you're going or your passport or your airline ticket or whatever, I can't answer all of them, but I'll try to answer it if I can. You can go to travelguysradio.com, and there's a spot there where you can fill out a little form and just put a question in the subject line, and I will answer you back. And some of them I try to answer on the air. By the way, if you go there on the top of the Travel Guys Radio website, there's a place where you can request to get the podcasts every week. So all you have to do is put in your email address, and you don't get any sales pitches or anything. We just send you a link to the podcast in case you don't hear the show each
week. If you're a glutton for punishment, and by the way, the answers to these mailbag questions are from Mark Hoffman's lips. He is the travel guy, and we don't know whether they're right or wrong. They're only answers.
First one says, this first one is really easy, actually.
Could I answer it?
You probably could. Okay. It says, you used to tell us when there was a big sale on airfares going on, but you don't mention that anymore. Is there a reason? And of course, then in the headline, yeah, at the very beginning of the program, I mentioned one, these questions were asked before the news was written. But anyway, the reason is because frequently sales start on Tuesdays and end on Thursdays or Fridays. so they don't always encompass a weekend when we're on the air on Sunday. But as I often tell people, Southwest fares start on Tuesdays, generally, if they're going to have one. And so if you see a Southwest fare, usually by Wednesday morning, whoever's going to match them has done it. So
and the airlines don't usually tell you ahead of time.
They don't. And but a place that you can generally always find out, if you subscribe to smartertravel.com, just go to smartertravel.com, and there's a place you can sign up there for their alerts, and they send out like one alert a day. And some of our news stories come from there, from their news feed, and they will always tell you when a sale starts. So that's a really good thing to have. It's usually up in the headlines. JetBlue, Alaska Airlines, they do their sales kind of separately, and they tend to pop up. JetBlue sales sometimes only last a day. So they announce them. They don't pre-announce them. The sale starts in the morning, ends at midnight, and you have to be paying attention to be able to catch one of those. So anyway, that's why I generally don't mention them on the air, but Southwest is having a particularly good intra-California sale right now, ends tomorrow. You mentioned on the air that we no longer have to pay baggage fees because of some new law that was passed, but I missed part of the story. Did baggage fees go away or just on one airline? Which airline? No, baggage fees didn't go away. I think what the listener is referring to is that when the recent FAA reauthorization was passed by Congress, part of it is a rule that if your bag is not delivered on domestic travel, I think it's 12 hours and international is 15, you're entitled to a refund for the baggage fee. Has nothing to do with what you get from the airline for compensation or what's lost or found. Ultimately, if they find the bag and deliver it to you the next day, you are entitled by law to get the baggage fee back. Should have been that way probably all along. They shouldn't have had to been told that, but now it is part of the law. So I think that's what, because no airline that's charging for baggage in this country has stopped. My girlfriend and I are signed up for your Key West trip in January. Oh, this is two ladies. Okay. My girlfriend and I are signed up for your trip to Key West in January. She must mean Sports Leisure Vacations, but she's getting nervous about the Zika virus. What should I tell her? Well, I'm going to assume that you two ladies are probably not in your 20s and 30s. So if that is the case, you don't have too much to worry about. Most people who get the Zika virus don't even know they have it. So it passes through them without ever knowing it. But if you are somebody who is trying to conceive a child, or if you're a man looking for a woman to make a child with, why then probably there are parts of Miami that you need to be very aware of and stay out of. But no, most travelers, this is not going to, 99.9% of travelers, it's not going to impact them, even if you stayed in those two areas in Miami where the Zika virus is currently an issue. Let's see here. Twice in the last few months, I reserved seats on a plane only to find when I go to check in that my seats have been changed. Is the airline allowed to do that? And the answer is yes, as I'm sure Gwen would echo. You have to push your button over, the red button there. Yes, that's it, Gwen. That you would say that does happen, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. In fact, there's no guarantee you're going to get the seat.
No, and the airlines have some little clause. If you look in their contract of carriage and stuff, oftentimes what happens, this will happen to people that are in first class. Sometimes their seat will get moved because if an air marshal is on the plane, particularly on an international flight, they will not tell you an air marshal is on the plane, but the air marshal is allowed. They are allowed to come on and say, we want 4B, and the airline has to give it to them. So if you're in the seat that the air marshal has requested, they're going to tell you it was a medical situation or something because they can't tell you, but they're going to move you. Sometimes you get moved because the size of the plane changed.
That's right.
And you'd say, well, gee, you know, it's still six seats across. What's the deal? Well, maybe the other plane had 24 rows of six seats across and this plane only has 20 and your row, your number doesn't exist. So they're going to move you to something that does exist. And it may not be what you want.
Are they required to let you know?
No, boy.
That's not part of the deal. So the way you have to do it is if you have special seats on an airline and you really want to keep them, is I recommend every week or two, you shouldn't have to go to the grocery store and make sure they still carry ketchup so you could buy it when you need it. But with airlines, the rules are a little differently. And so that's what you have to do.
You're nobody's friend.
All right. Mark's mailbag here. One more we've got. I'm confused about hotel terms. On one website, it says double room, but it only shows one bed. Wouldn't a double room be two people in two beds? I just want to make the right reservation, trying to reserve on the hotel website as you suggested. So this is the deal. I saw this on Chris Elliott's site the other day. He had somebody was complaining because the hotel didn't give him the right number of beds.
And the hotel gave him exactly the number of beds that in the hotel industry you generally get, which is double means two people, but it doesn't mean two beds. Double, on the other hand, means two people, two beds.
Double.
Yeah.
Double trouble.
A king room can be one or two people.
That's right.
But the hotel, when it says a double room, it's generally talking about the number of people in the room, which is two. So if you're looking for a room with two beds, make sure on the confirmation somewhere it says two queens, two double beds, two twins, if you're in a smaller property, something like that. So anyway, that's some of the things for the mailbox. And if you have a question, go to travelguysradio.com and send it to me. How men and women travel differently?
Well, where do we begin?
Well, the first item here on this list of this article is packing habits. Women typically care more about what they pack ahead of time, plan their outfits, bring more items, while men typically wait till the last minute to pack and bring less.
And that would not include you, Mark, who is a travel professional.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, Gwen. I semi-pack ahead of time. Well, like 3 days ahead of time, I'll put the underwear and the socks and the things that I know I'm going to need, and I start moving things into the suitcase.
You don't have packing cubes?
No. No, I don't have packing cubes.
Mark, you must have packing cubes.
I have a suitcase that I put everything in, unless somebody steals it out of my driveway as I'm driving away.
I use packing cubes.
Packing cubes. The average, Tom, 54% of men pack within 24 hours of a trip compared to 46% of women. Women bring on average 36 items for a one-week vacation, while men bring only 18 items.
Yep.
No comment.
Yep. You know, a lot of us guys have learned that the guys take the larger suitcase.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that's their suitcase.
Right. Well, so it's so that it can accommodate half of your stuff and half of your wife's stuff.
You're right.
Yes. That
moves
in. Activity choices, how men and women travel differently. This is, they find that men and women book active lifestyle tours. Let's see, more men than women book active lifestyle tours. This is G Adventures quoted this, as well as marine style tours. Women book more YOLO G Adventure tours, which are geared towards 18 to 39 year travelers, blah, blah, blah. Well, activity choices, obviously, men and women are built a little differently. And women tend to like, you know, not to like the airplane museum and tend to like shopping a little bit.
Right. More. Men don't usually book a shopping vacation.
No, you do not. Group travel versus solo travel. I can absolutely vouch for this one. Women are more likely to travel in a group. Men are more likely to travel alone, without any females or anyone else. or with just in packs with other men. Destinations, women. Hmm. Let's see. While plenty of men travel to Europe, there's something more to be said for female attraction to the continent, like Girl's Guide to Paris example.
Mm-hmm.
So women choose the destination most of the time.
Yes.
Yes. most of the time, men are just tagging along.
Men just pay for it.
Vacation planning and decision making. I think this goes along with same thing with destination. Women do 68% of the planning compared to men. And I would vouch for that. Let's see. Studies find men spend a little bit more time doing research than women. But women spend overall more time planning for a vacation. The number of vacation days. Men, let's see, for... men get more vacation days than women. Men's ideal vacation is 2 weeks, while a woman's ideal vacation is under 1 week. So the wife wants to go for a shorter time.
Interesting.
Than the husband.
That's really interesting.
Spending habits. Thomas, have you noticed these?
Kind of, sorta. It just, here again, it depends on the destination, but generally speaking, you know, I would think that it's pretty standard. Women will oftentimes spend more in shopping. They'll spend a little bit more than the guys do, but usually it has to do with shopping, maybe shopping for family or friends and stuff to bring back.
I've heard a couple of my travelers say, if I can't eat it or wear it, I don't buy it.
Interesting.
Unless I'm buying it for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the experienced ones, I think.
Spending habits. Let's see. Women spend a little bit more than men. Men save more money for a trip. Women spend more money when they're on a trip.
And men have a tendency to charge it, where women have a tendency, if they need to, they'll just pay for it or borrow it.
When it's email and social media use. 47% of Americans check their email on vacation, but men tend to check it almost twice as often as women do when it comes to social media. Many more women put their accounts of their vacation on social media than men. Interesting study from smartertravel.com.
Well, okay, we are the Travel Guys, and speaking of smarter travel, if you've ever thought about going to Mexico, stick around in 3 minutes. Gwen Duncan joins us to make us all smarter travelers when we go south, right here on the Travel Guys.
You can travel by road, you can fly by plane.
Hey, that's our old friend Marcus Mio.
Yes, it's Marcus.
Yes.
Sounds like a country western Bob Dylan.
Yeah, it is song on our show. I like it. You can download it at travelguysradio.com. Hey, the winner this week of the Sports Leisure Vacations gift card is Phyllis McGrath. Phyllis was on my trip to Michigan a couple weeks ago. How cool is that? $200 gift card, Phyllis. If you call the Sports Leisure office Monday or Tuesday to claim your prize, in 2 weeks, this contest will end. And a new Travel Guys contest will come. Remember the mystery spot contest?
Coming back.
And another person who sent me a note in the mailbox here who has said, thanks for talking about Calumet in the UP of Michigan and saying about how much fun it was there and stuff. Donna Sutton. So thank you for that, Donna. So Gwen is here and Tom is thinking about taking a vacation to Mexico. And so Gwen, what did you tell Tom?
Well, first of all, I had to tell him, I had to educate him on some of the differences between the West and the East Coast.
I don't doubt that at all.
No.
Yeah, the differences between the West
and the East Coast.
Is that kind of like Florida, where, you know, on the East Coast, it's all Latin, and on the West Coast, it's all Midwest? I mean, is it that kind of, Mexico has those differences?
Well, it has some distinct differences. The West Coast has brown sand beaches, hot brown sand beaches, and it's mostly fishing villages. Practically everything is, you know, centered around fishing. You're not going to find a lot of snorkeling and that kind of stuff. On the East Coast, it's white sand beaches.
That's the Gulf of Mexico
side.
They're
cooler. Uh-huh. They're cooler. And a lot of the water
Cancun,
sports.
Cancun, like Cozumel.
Snorkeling and water sports and everything are a lot more prevalent there.
Okay. So do people like the white sand beaches better or the brown sand beaches?
Oh, it's, you know, I'm finding that a lot of people.
Or does it have to do with the airfare?
Well, yeah. Well, actually, the airfare is almost the same. Isn't that weird? But whenever they go to the Cancun area, Riviera Maya, Playa de Carmen, and like that, they'll say, I want to go to Cancun. Well, as we talked with Tom, there are different areas. And when you say Cancun, a lot of people really don't want Cancun in general. Their hotel zone is along a lagoon and a waterway where the beaches are non-swimmable beaches. Takes a half an hour to take a taxi, you know, from there into town. I mean, it's a long ways to walk into town. You're not going to do that. So you're kind of isolated.
Mm-hmm.
And then the resorts are really close together, and they tend to be high rises.
Right.
And everything, they don't do a lot with greenery and stuff. So it's just cement, sand, and
if you only went to drink and lay on the beach.
Well, that's true.
Then
that's
probably
where you're going to find the white lights.
You.
The white lights for discoing and all that kind
right.
of stuff. You're going to find that.
So, but if you're going with a family.
If you're going with a family, I would go into some of the, well, they've got almost all-inclusives, a lot of them all-inclusives. But I get to the areas where you can have
by
some
all-inclusives,
activities.
You mean that your meals and everything,
meals
you pay
and
one
liquor
price.
And everything, your soft drinks and everything.
Everything's
are
included. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. But they
do
have
those represent good value to people?
If people are drinkers.
Well, so yeah,
right,
it's, the answer is
if
you're
paying for it, you know, I mean, you can eat and drink cheap in Mexico, let's be honest. And so if you don't do an all-inclusive, it's convenient.
Yeah, as long as you don't get Montezuma's Revenge.
Well, yeah. Well, and Cancun was built as a resort city. It's not old. Mm-hmm. They've got some older things, Tulum and Chichen Itza, that those are definitely historic. But everything else, Xochal, Escaray, all these are Euro, what do you call them? Ecotourism. They're built for tourism. They're fun. They're fun. They have the lazy river and all that kind of stuff, but they're not authentic. You
What's
know,
the
they
cheapest
were
place, in your opinion? East or west? Coast of Mexico?
I think that's kind of hard to say.
Just overall.
Well, overall, I would say used to be the least expensive place was to go to Cabo, but that's not true anymore because there's yachts there and a lot of expensive places have been built up
there. Shame on those rich people for moving in and driving up the prices.
Yeah, darn it. But the airfare is cheap. Personally, on the West Coast, I really, really like to go to Puerto Vallarta. It's got a lot of diversity. There's a lot of things you can, you know, different places that you can go, upscale to Puna Mita, and a lot of history, too, for movies that were done and everything. And it's reasonable to get there.
But you realize you're going to have to fly overnight to go to Mexico if you leave from Sacramento. Because we're an international airport, we don't have international flights in the daytime. It has something to do with security or something, I think.
Well,
really?
Yeah.
No.
And
when you come back, we have the slowest customs entry time in the country. Did you know that?
I would believe that.
Because we only have, well, and now in the summer, there are three flights, the Mexico City and the two Guadalajaras. But
yeah. But when, then if you go to San Francisco,
wait,
nonstop.
Mr. Romano, who's getting the vacation, has a question.
Yes,
yes, yes. You know, in your email, you talked about difference between those that might want to go for the historical nature of Mexico. Where was it that you recommend people go if they really want to get a look at the culture?
If they want to get the culture and they're not really beachy people, I would look seriously at the colonial cities.
But not right now.
Not right now.
I only say that, Tom, because Sports Leisure Vacations had a trip to the colonial Mexico cities and we canceled it Friday. It was going in November and we waited as long as we could, but we just felt that the civil unrest and stuff there. And the other reality is, without making a political comment, some of the people in Mexico are not real happy about Mr. Trump and some of the things that he is saying. And if it appears as though that he might be elected, then and we get closer to the election, then Mexico may not be a good place to be.
I also want to say something else about that. I was there in 2010 on a cruise, 2011 on a cruise. We were on an Ozamar 10-day thing. Our second day, we were in Mazatlan, and we spent the whole day. I thought it was wonderful because I had heard all about, you know, how bad it was. So I thought, oh, this would be great to experience it and tell people everything was fine. But before I got back to the boat, I was accosted. So was somebody on the boat that was in charge of the hotel rooms on the boat. He was injured far more than I was. And we had to report it. And we couldn't report it to the police because they didn't communicate with the coast.
So colonial cities, right now, colonial cities is probably a very historical part of Mexico, Tom. But probably you want to wait until after the election to see if the wall is going to get built.
Fascinating.
I mean, it's unfortunate. But these issues are not popping up everywhere. But in that particular area, they're having a lot of unrest. Gwen, we're down to the last minute. Give Tom a piece of wisdom here as he goes forward on planning his Mexico vacation.
Wow. You're talking about six adults. I would just go and just have fun. Look at the culinary stuff. Their food is wonderful all over Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And their drink is really fun. And their culture, really.
One airline better or worse than Mexico?
I think Alaska does a good job.
Really?
Okay. Alaska.
Well, I'm not surprised to hear you say that. I think Alaska does a good job.
Alaska
period.
Does a really good job.
Does that help you, Mr. Romano, a little bit there?
Yeah, outstanding. And by the way, if you travel anywhere and you're looking for a good travel agent,
CY Yours Travel.
Yeah, CY Travel. Cordially Yours Travel.
CYTravel.com. Gwen's got all kinds of good stuff. Thanks, Gwen.
There's a link on the Sports Leisure website, TravelGuysRadio.com. You can find links to all the things we talked about today. Plus, there's a whole plethora of cool stuff up there that I put up in the last couple days. If you just go there and look at the list, we will see you next Sunday at 3 o'clock.
You bet. You stay well, my friends. Thank you. Don't forget now, I'll be listening during the week on KFPK for Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, and our travel tip of the week. Stay well, my friends.